El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a weekly column for an internet website that I forget the name of, and I would use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions, but now I don't do anything. Joining me today, he is one half of the duo that hosts the Best Bad Movie Ever podcast right here on the Unpops Network. He also runs a whole entire podcast network of his own called Gamefully Unemployed. You should check that out sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, David Christopher Bell. Also joining me, he is a fantastic comic. We've done a whole bunch of shows together. Maybe you've seen us together on a web series called Burn Booth. If you haven't, Google that shit. I'm great on it. Ladies and gentlemen, making his first appearance on Unpopular Opinion, Zach Miller. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. Yay. Woo. All right. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. And I have guests with me today. I've never done a solo Unpopular Opinion.
That'd be tight, though.
I have a solo podcast. I've just never done. I've never dropped just me by myself on this particular RSS feed.
Why not?
I don't know.
You don't think you're good enough?
Audience is kind of bitchy.
All right.
Complain about who my co-hosts are all the time, who's here, who's not here.
It brings a little spice to bring guests, and opinions need people to bounce against.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't know what to do if I had to do a podcast completely by myself and just talk
for 45 minutes. Script it out, throw some jokes in there.
I think you just smoke more weed and let the characters come out.
Do that.
The shit flow.
Drink a lot of coffee,
I've started doing like long form, like kind of like weed review videos that run like 6 or 7 minutes of just me talking about things while I like grind herb and do bong hits and say if I like the weed or not.
It's not a big leap from there.
Yeah, you set up topics for yourself. Just nobody argues with you or cuts you off. It's kind of great.
That's how Alex Jones started.
Yeah, that's true.
You look at his early, look at him. He's early public access videos.
It's just him ranting.
Carving pumpkins on Halloween, answering call-in questions. That's an actual video.
Pumpkin carving are pretty similar.
That's how it starts. And then next thing you know, you're talking about the deep state.
Yeah.
It always starts with the pumpkins.
You're stalking Sandy Hook families.
Yeah.
Hey, I should introduce the guests. Everyone already knows David Christopher Bell.
Hi, everybody.
I'm sure you recognize that voice from the Best Bad Movie Ever podcast. We have to do an episode about The Fanatic soon, hopefully.
Very excited about that.
And also from the Gamefully Unemployed Network. So many shows there.
Too many. Too many shows.
We used to work together.
That's true. We sat next to each other.
We sat next to each other at Cracked.
We were desk mates.
Yeah. Yeah. We lived in the same van together coming up when we were just doing clubs.
Absolutely.
Grinding it out on the road.
Just you and me.
Writing comedy articles and coffee shop. None of that part's not true.
So this is like a homie sandwich with some Rambo smashed in between?
Kind of. And that Rando. Did you say Rando or Rambo?
Well, I meant Rando, but I said Rambo.
I like Rambo.
But I think Rambo's cooler. Right?
Yeah.
You did say Rambo. That Rambo being Zach Miller.
What up, party people?
If you have ever seen me on a web video called Burn Booth, a web show, web series called Burn Booth, Zach Miller, go back and watch again, give it some extra views, and also you'll see Zach Miller, host of Burn Booth.
Host and co-creator, good sir.
Co-creator.
And guy stoked to bring it back 2020, baby. So that get
there's
ready
an episode out there with me, Keith, and Connor from Mean Boys.
That was our biggest episode ever. That was UC Santa Cruz 420 smokeout episode.
Someday you're going to find that under your a copy of that under your bed. Take it to Pawn Stars and sell it for $1 million.
That's right, dude. If there was a physical copy of that experience, it's all on the web.
Print it out.
Or some hard drive somewhere.
So Zach is a comedian. I've done, we've done comedy together a bunch of times.
We've played.
Zach always pays when you do his shows. That's pretty fucking great.
I pay pros. guest spots are usually an opportunity situation. But yeah, there are. But if you do my show as a pro, yes, you receive compensation.
And I always appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what pro's about, right? You do it professionally. That requires some type of monetary experience. It might not be like, it's like gainfully unemployed type shit. I like that, by the way. Gainfully unemployed is gangster.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Oh,
that's
a
gangster name.
Well, we were unemployed at the time, and we were playing a lot of games, so we were like, hey, let's go for a goddamn pun and do gainfully unemployed.
I thought it was just gainfully unemployed. Oh,
no. There's an M in there. I kind of like gainfully better, to be honest.
Unemployed. I'm unemployed. I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're self-employed, kind of.
No, I definitely am. That's also how this network got started, lost my job, and I was planning to do extra podcasts, but not really planning to make this a whole network. And then I got fired, and it became a network.
That's what's up, man. That's how you kickstart. I remember when I got fired from Buffalo Wild Wings. I was bartending, and it was January 2009. I was 29 years old, and I lost my job. And it was just like, I could get another job, or I could make comedy pay more.
Yeah.
And then I started booking, like, shows like a maniac. Like, that's when I went on that run when I had, like, 9 shows a week that I produced, all of them, hosted all
you
of
can
them,
tell them,
all of them.
I'm losing my edge because I let you get so far into that without doing this. Hit it, Brett. You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life. When all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. And it's going to get so intense in a second here. I'm not playing this live because we're live streaming, and all the camera equipment makes it hard for me to operate the synthesizer and drum machine that I normally play this on. So I'm just running it from my iPad today. Fade it out, Brett. Off camera, thank you.
Brett's great.
As always, Brett Rader.
Hey, you want to hit this, Brett? All right, cool.
I wouldn't mind. Anyway, we're talking about, as always, this is a sort of a throwback to how our episodes used to be, because recently we've been just having people bring unpopular opinions to the show and tell us what they are, and then they defend them on the show.
Sure.
But this time we're talking about, you could almost call this a celebrity opinion show. We're talking about one particular opinion that has made the rounds this week that was submitted to us by renowned director Martin Scorsese.
Thanks, Martin, for sending this in.
Before we get to it, though, I do have to shout out our $50 Patreon subscribers, Ann Bankson, Rebecca Stewart, Kai Zelborski, and newcomer Jesus Cisneros Macias.
Woo! Yo!
Thank you for giving us more money than anyone else gives us.
Because of you, Adam was able to smoke some fancy 30% sativa weed with me from the game. I assume that's where stuff like that comes
from. Sounds like a frivolous use of money, but if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be able to do any of this.
That's right, bro.
I'd have to just go get a desk job.
That's right.
I wouldn't be able to focus.
Yes,
we need focus. It's my excuse.
It's medicine.
But thank you for your support. We goddamn love you.
Whoop, whoop.
But this week's opinion, has everyone heard about this?
Yes.
Martin Scorsese thing? I'm sure you have. Martin Scorsese. I don't know why I'm saying it like Sessie. Here, I'm going to.
I heard the opinion, and I want to hear your guys before I give mine, because I don't want to sound stupid. You're both smarter than me, it seems.
Well, he got movie fans all riled up because he said, basically he said Marvel movies do not qualify as cinema. His actual quote is, I don't see them. I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. Could you tell I needed to cough that entire time? Jesus Christ.
You got it mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It was like a fucking marathon runner.
These things will hit you, bro. This isn't kiddie stuff.
Just stumbles at the finish line. But, so yeah, that's what he had to say.
That specific quote, the claim, it's not cinema, or that's not cinema. I feel like he clarifies with the second sentence where he says, it isn't the cinema of human beings, trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being.
Right.
Which I think makes a lot more sense than just saying it's not cinema, because, I mean, technically it's absolutely cinema because it's a fucking movie.
It's a movie.
The production of movies as an art or industry.
There you go.
I feel like it falls under that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what we're seeing here, though, mainly is these old guys getting interviewed and not really giving a shit and just sort of talking. And, like, I don't think they mean to. It's that thing in the industry where someone says, like, oh, I met that person. Yeah, he was kind of rude to me. And then the headline is so-and-so blasts famous actor.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're not going to war here. They were just asked their opinion on movies. And, like, a lot of, like, boomers and shit are just like, yeah, I don't watch that. I don't think it's very good.
They engage movies differently.
Yeah. Like,
they weren't born into CGI, so they're not that impressed by it.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're like, they did that whole thing on green screen. Nobody had to build that set. Like, fucking, he was in a different room than her when they shot that. Like, that's not acting. That's not filmmaking to them. And that's right. Okay. But to me, I don't think it was implying it as far as people are taking it, like he's saying, but I don't think you can argue about the quality of film that doesn't involve as much post-production and what that means from the ability of the director's standpoint. Like, certainly it's got to be harder to create a masterpiece without a $200 million CGI budget.
Right.
But, like, I could...
Is it, though? Like, that budget is still hard to work with. Like, it's
It's a different thing. It's like a comic... It's like somebody, you know, shitting on a comic for doing it differently. And then they just, you know what I mean? Or somebody shitting on fucking Carrot Top. You know, it's like when comics shit on Carrot Top, it's like, fuck you, then you do it.
Well, or like...
you know what I mean? You get $30 million from Luxor a year. Good luck.
Nickelback is always my example. Mm-hmm. Like, there's... Like, everyone complains about Nickelback, but someone's obviously listening to Nickelback because they are, I believe, the greatest selling rock band of the 2000s. So, yeah. Like, it's for someone, and even if it's not your music, it's still music.
People like shitting on people, and it's easiest to shit on people at the top.
Right.
He's not shitting on fucking DC because they ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, well...
Nobody cares about Justice League.
Yeah.
I do think there's a reason this has caused a big discussion, because I do think comic book fans are, like, very self-conscious about whether or not comic book movies are artistic or not. And I think it's like a lot of genre, because James Gunn replied to this and he compared them to Westerns or gangster films, where he's like, when those were made, you know, a lot of older people didn't consider those cinema. And now we consider them classics. And I think the thing he's forgetting, and I think this is the same with a lot of genre movies, like very specific genres, is that, like Westerns, for example, we don't really remember that many. Same with gangster films. There's only like a handful. And that's just going to be the same with superhero films, because they're all genres that are kind of, they are dictated by a very specific formula.
Right.
And I think that's what Scorsese is talking about. He might not realize that there's other genres that have this problem that's come and gone, like, over the years. Like, musicals are another, where we, you know, made a lot of musicals. And now we still make all of these genres a little bit, but there
slasher
are
slasher films to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, in the 80s, slasher films were the films that were topping the box office.
And I think there's an argument that if you're making a movie where you're making it for a larger corporation that has a set of rules that you have to do, then it is always going to be flawed to an extent. It's not going to be, you know, the idea that you could have Edgar Wright make an Ant-Man film and plan it out, and then at the last minute leave, and they could be like, okay, let's just get a new director, no big deal. And I think that's what's bugging people like Scorsese, like Coppola, who backed him up.
Is Scorsese just a plant for Warner Brothers? Because the Joker is kind of showed like their new path to making money after flopping with so many things. Maybe they realize like, yo, we should do more acting films while Marvel's over there doing all that CGI. That's our lane. So let's get a big guy like Scorsese to shit on that type of comic book movie to push ours.
Yeah, it seems though like...
It's a lane. It worked.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. But it also seems like what he said was kind of an off-the-cuff thing where... Because I don't remember exactly... Oh, he was doing an interview with... I forget the name of the magazine now. We'll link to it. But, Digital Spy. The question there, I think, is why even ask him?
Because they know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the greatest directors of all time. He gets an opinion. I'm just saying, is his opinion biased for a fucking reason? Because if Warner
Brothers... Why are you yelling at me?
Well, because I'm tired of Scorsese fucking... Psych, I'm just kidding. I actually give no fucks about this whole topic. I just want to have something to get fired up about. I'm just kidding.
Personally, I think...
Not yet, anyway. Till you bring Wakanda in it, then we'll start getting real hyphy. Apologize.
I think Warner Brothers is no different than Marvel in a lot of this stuff. Like, I know... Well,
it's Warner Brothers, DC, Marvel, Disney.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried about Joker because I don't think Joker... I just watched Logan today. And I haven't seen that yet. Oh, okay.
Wait, maybe I have.
Logan is a well-done film that, and I think this is part of, I don't know if it's specifically part of Scorsese's comments, but it's part of this like weird clash of whether or not superhero films are art, is that you'll often get, when Logan came out, there were people tweeting that it should win Oscars and shit like that. And the same with Joker. And what bothers me about that is Logan's a fine film, but in terms of formula, it's every other superhero film. It's just shot a little better and has like the credits are a little grittier and serious. The acting's a little better. It's a little more grounded. It's rated R, but it's not that much different. And it's, they kind of just take the plot of Children of Men and put Wolverine in it. Whereas Joker kind of just
a great movie, by the way.
Oh yeah. It's fantastic. God,
I need to see this movie then. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And Joker does the same thing where it's just taking the plot of Taxi Driver, sort of,
yeah,
King of Comedy, and then applying Joker and then shooting it in a nice way. And people are coming out of it thinking they watched art, where when you go through it, you're like, it doesn't really mean anything.
That's what Brendan, my partner from Bad Lib, said. We did a whole segment on it for Political Box Office. He said it was just a Taxi Driver, Comedy King ripoff.
It's kind of as shallow as any other superhero film.
It really
ultimately
is.
Ultimately. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, liking films or hating films, whatever, it's subjective. But I think there's this weird now pushback where people are kind of not realizing that necessarily. Yeah. And it really bothers me.
Well, maybe this is the beginning of the end of the superhero era. How many of these fucking Marvel movies?
That would be fantastic.
How many of these Marvel movies are they seriously going to spit out? I know they could keep doing it forever. I can't believe it's been this good this long.
Yeah.
But like...
Well, the thing is, Endgame to me is such a great, at least for the Avengers, like that's such a great ending point. But it's also... It's such
you
a
know these motherfuckers. They never stop.
No,
they'll
and
find
they're
a reason to do it
no,
again.
They're obviously not going to
stop.
Well,
they have a new phase four coming.
Yeah, but like Endgame to me is the superhero movie that should have been talked about in terms of Oscar buzz.
Yeah,
like no, I cried.
It
like
is
a motherfucker.
Just a legitimately great fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it goes against a lot of what Martin Scorsese is saying here.
Yeah, to say,
in
Robert,
that it's not, because that's a movie about, it's not just a movie about grief and about loss. It's about half the fucking world experiencing grief and loss right at the same time.
They handled that topic pretty hotly. And to say that Robert Downey Jr. didn't put on one of the best performances of the year would be silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that whole scene in the spaceship. I don't give a fuck what studio he's in. That performance was dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, liked Endgame a lot.
Yeah, I would compare it a lot to like the original Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, making big epics. I think the weirdness of superhero films is that they're designed to never end. And that's what's so frustrating, because I agree Endgame should have been the ending. of that, of this universe, as far as I'm concerned. And then you go and you watch the next Spider-Man, and they're like, anyway, let's see what Spider-Man's up to. Here's some new adventures. And it's like, dude, half the population vanished. The main guy, the guy who started all, just died. Fucking take a hint. It's like when it's like when a band,
man, Iron Man's dead. It's over.
Yeah, well, it's like when a band does a really like it. Well, I don't think this has ever happened. It's like if a band did a really good encore, everybody loved it, and they're like, "They love us. Let's go for another 2 hours." And it's like, "No, stop. You're done. Now it's time to move on."
Right.
Like, we all love Thor, but he's not gonna fill them shoes, homie. No, but no character's gonna step into the Iron Man. Threaded everything,
right?
So, like, to take him out of the mix, it's like,
yeah, that's the thing for me. Iron Man, if I recall correctly, because I don't. That was gonna be one of my questions: is how much do any of us really care about? Like, is anyone in the room like a really big Marvel fan?
No, I've enjoyed a lot of their movies.
But have you not seen any Marvel movies?
No, I watch them all.
Yeah, it almost feels like
I might have missed one Captain America, maybe, but I'm pretty. They're good. Yeah. I've seen every. If I can, I love them. I've seen some 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
Ragnarok's my favorite.
I loved Thor Ragnarok. Yeah,
they're loved really it a lot. Fun movies.
One of the things Francis Ford Coppola also he like backed up Martin Scorsese on this, but his criticism was a little more specific. And a little more heated. For one thing, he called the movies despicable. Here, let's read the whole thing. If you asked him if there is cinematic talent, cinematic expression, or great work in Marvel films, he would say yes. But to his point that Marvel films are more like theme park rides than what we call cinema, then yes, I agree with him. Marvel are eating up all the oxygen of cinema. When Marty Scorsese says Marvel films is not cinema, he's right, because we expect to learn something from the cinema. We expect to get some enlightenment, some inspiration. I don't know if anyone gets anything from seeing the same movie over and over again. Real cinema brings something to society. It doesn't just take the money and make people rich. That's despicable. So Martin was kind when he said it's not cinema. He didn't say it is despicable. Which I just said it is.
In that ass, boy. Yo, I could see it. It's kind of like saying Kevin Hart's not stand-up.
Yeah.
And I could say that he's sucking a lot of oxygen out of the game, where there's so many better voices that could fill that void if he wasn't having people write specials for him. I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying about Marvel, is that it's boxing out a lot of other screen time for other filmmakers and new ideas,
yeah,
rather than just fucking programming you with the same bullshit over and over again.
And he wouldn't be wrong completely. Like, again, I really like Marvel, but Disney and Marvel have dominated movies right now. To the point, like, I think that's the weird thing about, because what he's saying here, again, it's like any blockbuster film. Indiana Jones is formulaic, but it's done so artistically that we love it. Or Back to the Future, I wouldn't call that formulaic because it's batshit insane. But
which one? Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. That's a crazy plot. But I guess I lost my train of thought.
Indiana Jones,
I think is
formulaic.
Yeah, what I think is different or weird with Marvel is that it's a brand. It's a studio that exclusively makes one universe, one plot, and they're as big as any other studio. And now Marvel is like a genre taking over. And like, when you look at, like, say the Disney plot, the plus menus that's coming out, they don't have them by like genre anymore, like horror, sci-fi.
Right.
They have it by like Disney, Marvel, like by the main brands that they're bringing that bring very something very specific. And then the fact that Marvel is very much like focused on it. It's the power is more on the side of the producers than the directors or writers.
Yeah.
Which is very much unlike what someone like Coppola is used to, who, you know, had to constantly fight producers. So there's something so corporate about it, where it's the ideas are coming from the money people and we're worshiping like a brand. Like, we don't think of, when you talk about Taxi Driver or The Godfather, you don't think of them as a film belonging to whatever studio was doing them. But Marvel films, we kind of are just like, yeah, they're Marvel films. They're all belonging to this one giant studio. I'm not justifying what he's saying. I'm saying that I understand where he's coming from, which is that the things have changed a lot the way things work now,
right,
with major films.
But I think they're just an example of a product that's high quality as fuck and super successful at taking market share.
Yeah.
Like, you could say that about, you know, The Simpsons and fucking, like, whatever, you know, Cartoon Space. They've had 30 fucking seasons. You could say Hang It Up. You could say it about anything. You could say Ford was the biggest car company in America at one point. Like, things grow, they contract. Facebook's in deep shit. Zuckerberg got his ass dug in today.
It's a different,
that might not be as much of a thing. Right. Things come and go.
Yeah, it's a different conversation, but like the fact that Simpsons and Marvel are owned by the same company, like that's the bigger problem when talking about shit. Like shit can be popular. Things can be very popular.
Right, I feel you. I'm in. I'm sorry.
But none of this is a problem except for the fact that Disney owns fucking everything right now.
Right.
That's the bigger issue. Like Marvel dominating the box office makes sense because they're fun films and everybody's really depressed and everything sucks. So it's like, I'm going to go see fucking Spider-Man. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Disney owning everything is, it feels like though people project a little bit of that onto Marvel.
Yeah. Well, I think cause Marvel looks, it feels like the biggest example.
Yeah.
Cause like it's again, all their movies, they're made so many movies. And they're all, I think we forget, they're all technically part of the same series.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many movies now? 20? So like,
they're all so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most of them are good.
Well, yeah, they're great. And I think what it is that the only other series that big is like James Bond, but James Bond has been released over like 50 years. So we don't notice it as much, but in 10 years, there's 20 movies that come out that all look the same. That when you look at them and they come that fast, it's easy to forget, like, no, it does make sense that they're trying to make them all look a specific way,
right,
a specific tone, because they all take place in the same universe. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I think even then, they do a good job of making the movies different. Like Thor Ragnarok and Endgame are radically different films.
For sure.
Like in terms of tone, storyline,
everything.
They did
a great job, clearly, for the most part, of keeping the cast happy and cohesive because they've kept the same players. And, you know, if they would have switched out if Tom Cruise was Iron Man the last 10 fucking movies or whatever,
might have been all right with it. I'd take one Tom Cruise Iron Man movie.
He was considered. He was.
Was he?
Yeah,
he was considered.
Ant-Man something.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd as Ant-Man is fucking the gangsterest shit ever.
That's probably the best thing about Marvel, I think.
I fucking love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Marvel, I feel like you're right. A lot of this, or I don't know who said it, but a lot of this gets aimed at them. Maybe I said it. Because they're the biggest, but also they're not the only big name property in the world that's been around for a long time. They're not the only franchise with a ton of money behind them. The one thing all these other properties that aren't as big as Marvel that would like to be as big as Marvel could do is make better movies.
Yeah, they're the cool kids.
Like, that's what's keeping DC
from succeeding. Nobody ever leaves a Marvel movie feeling ripped off.
Yeah.
No.
So that's it.
And it's what we need.
If they were like taking too many screens and fucking like forcing their way down your throat to watch shit content that like had like weird fucking politics in it and shit.
Well,
we'll talk about that. But again, I've been fed propaganda. And if that's propaganda, it's the best tasting propaganda I've ever had.
Goes down really smooth.
But this,
Finally, something we could laugh at. That was very serious for a while there.
I mean, it's not that serious. They're it's just movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
And that's the thing, is that we've always had this. I'm reminded of like after World War II and the Depression, we just did musicals a bunch because we were like, God, I'm fucking depressed. Let's watch a bunch of pretty people sing. It's the exact same thing, right? Is like,
yeah.
we got like 9/11 and then a recession and Trump, and we're just like, God, I'm bummed. Let me see some fucking beautiful people flipping around and fighting each other.
Let me just feel normal at the movies for a little bit.
And we've had it forever. It's existed forever. It's just never been so as big as Marvel, and I think.
But as Scorsese should shut up. Marvel might be saving the fucking live cinema business.
I also,
if it weren't for Marvel, a lot of these theaters would be fucking closed, homie.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, a lot like to Def Jam Records, for example.
We made movies so good, people left their fucking house to come see them. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Every other fucking movie maker who now gets to fill the other screens.
Like, Def Jam Records in the 80s, they had Beastie Boys' License to Ill album, which was their album that sold a ton of records and made them a ton of money. But in terms of the look for the label, it was kind of a weird fit. But signing them allowed them, like, all that money they made off that one kind of weird look gave them all this creative freedom to do whatever the fuck
else. To break LL Cool J wanted. Fucking everybody else they broke. Yeah.
Right. And of course. Marvel movies have to, in some capacity, go a long way toward that, even if they're taking up a lot of money and resources. Like you said, they're probably keeping a ton of fucking theaters in bit. Like, what else is keeping theaters in
businesses
right now?
What else are people
going
to see? Joker ain't keeping the fucking AMC in business.
No.
They're not. I mean, literally, fucking those 20 movies over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only time I go to the movies is to see a fucking Marvel movie, dude.
Well, AMC A-list. I go all the time.
Well, you don't have children.
Well, my son's old. He lives in another state.
Oh, you have a child?
Yeah, man.
All right, well, I have a 7 and a 9-year-old.
Okay.
I don't get to just go to the movies by myself, and if I go as a family, it costs $5,000. Yeah. So we don't do that shit.
Marvel also, for being giant and everything we've said, they're well written for the most part. Like, they have a plan, and this is a really low bar, but when you compare it to, say, the new Star Wars that don't know what the fuck they're doing, apparently, that have admitted, like, the producers have admitted, like, yeah, we're sort of writing it as we go and stuff like that. It's a low bar, but at least Marvel seems to know where they're going with their 20-so films.
Like, and they kept it cohesive. It's fucking nuts. Yeah. It's an incredible feat.
They write it like a TV show, I think, where they're just a season ahead, you know? They probably know exactly what's going to happen for all of Phase 4 into Phase 5.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Again, it's a low bar, but it feels like a lot of like franchises don't think ahead as much anymore.
Right.
From a whole standpoint where they can secure the talent, you know, all the stories make sense. Then they adapt the stories to be updated based on like how the year went. I mean, like they do an impressive job, I think.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about them being some type of pedophile lizard people.
Yeah, that's the next question. Let us use our 2019 eyes and ears and brains to resurrect a 2016 conversation, because this came up a lot when Trump was running for office and all of the big movies in 2016 were slated to be superhero movies. And the question came up, are superhero movies kind of fascist?
Yeah,
they kind of are.
I have a specific movie I want to bring up here.
Because you're looking for one person to solve all your problems rather than building a community that solves problems organically?
Yeah, I can explain. Before Dave brings up a movie example, there's an NPR article, if you want a good rundown of how this theory or idea works, called Superheroes and the F Word, Grappling with the Ugly Truth Under the Capes by Glenn Weldon, and it's from 2016. And these are the two sentences that open his article. Democratic. Superheroes exist to express what's noblest about us. Selflessness, sacrifice, a commitment to protect those who need protection and to empower the powerless. So you could make that argument. Also, there's the fascist argument. Superheroes exist to symbolize the notion that might equals right, that a select few should dictate the fate of the world, and that the status quo is to be protected at all costs.
Hmm.
Which,
I like the first one better. I feel like you could go either way.
depends on the superhero.
Yeah.
I would say, I would argue Spider-Man isn't fascist, or at least not the Sam Raimi ones.
Right.
Because he's just like a kid trying to help out.
Yeah.
No, I'm reminded of a non-superhero movie, actually. Team America World Police.
Best movie ever.
Great movie.
When you go back and watch that film, because when it came out, it seemed, you know, kind of outrageous. It's a great, yeah, great film about a group of I think all white, like a police team who fly around in these jets and are America colored and have a swanky hideout where they drink martinis and they have personal relationships. Meanwhile, they're just blowing up areas of the world to in the name of defeating evil. And it's funny watching that because it's supposed to be like outlandish and satirical. And then you go and watch like Age of Ultron and you realize, oh, this is the exact same thing. And that's what's funny about the Avengers is that there is extremely like fashy vibes in the way they do things where that they sort of just people, regular people are just hordes that they're sort of saving.
Right.
They never really think about the consequences. Like I know Civil War is about that. But then it just sort of spins off into a personal squabble between Tony Stark and Captain America. And it never really gets resolved. They just, Thanos shows up and they team up. Like, they, it is very much just like a small group of people deciding what's best for the world and going around and blowing everything up based on right. that. And they often create a lot of their own problems. Like, I'm pretty sure all of Tony Stark's enemies were people associated with his company that he either screwed over
yeah.
or he was partnered with. I mean, the entire plot of Civil War is basically their own internal problems. Ultron was created by Tony Stark. So there's an argument for that. These are a group of people who have no business getting into the affairs of the world that they're in.
Right.
And are, in fact, hurting the world more than they are helping. Up until the big purple guy.
Well, that's the plot of The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Incredibles?
Well, The Incredibles is a superhero movie, though.
Right, yeah. right, right.
Yeah.
But the plot is, are they helping or hurting more?
Yeah, and
it's
that...
It's the constant plot. That's why, like, but I think to look at it and say it's promoting one thing versus the other is to skip the fact that that's the argument in the movie.
Well, but to... You have to take the whole history of...
That's movies. They have different viewpoints in them that get expressed through characters.
These are comic book movies in a lot of cases. In comic books, Superman, as they point out in this article, started out as Superman champion of the oppressed. He wasn't Superman Man of Steel until years after that. And like Captain America and Wonder Woman were created for the express purpose of fighting Nazis. And then World War II happened. And after World War II, comic books start taking on this, like there's no more Nazis. So now it's all about patriotism and selling war bonds. And the imagery of comic books starts becoming more tied into the imagery of America, the good guy, and fighting the good fight.
You fight criminals in America and blah, blah, blah.
Right. And what you're describing now, where it's this conflict of, well, we have absolute power, and how do we wield it responsibly? That's not new, but it's like a past couple decades sort of development.
Yeah, but these are comic book movies. There's fake heroes. There's fake enemies.
Yeah.
So it's like,
of course,
if fucking Thanos was really here, I wouldn't be counting on fucking, I would hope some superheroes pop the fuck up because our weapons ain't going to do it.
Right, but the question is the themes that they're pushing and the ideas that they're pushing.
Here's something to note that I thought is interesting about this world. In Captain America Winter Soldier, which is a great movie, that's the one with Bucky, yeah. right? They go to a Mac store to hide out, and it was the first time I noticed something about this world is that the computers at the Mac store are regular computers we have now. The technology you see that any citizen has... is regular technology. Ahead. They're driving normal cars, which is weird considering that when you look at the technology that the Avengers have, it's space age. It's 50 years into the future.
Right.
They run on weird flying cars and shit. And I always thought it was fascinating that they don't give any of that to people. They're not providing free power. They're not like that's the thing is yeah. they're helping when a bad guy comes up, sometimes a bad guy that they caused. but they aren't helping like the day to day life of people.
Yeah.
Like he never,
Tony
like,
Stark is a super duper capitalist.
Yeah. Like he invented that thing. What? Like 18 movies ago. Yeah, these motherfuckers ain't got free power. Yet?
Yeah. Where's the free power?
What the fuck, Marvel? I'm leaving. Are we in Burbank? I'm gonna go fuck somebody up right now. Dog.
All right, calm down.
No, I mean, they are just fun movies. I think what makes it weird and different is that, like, Indiana Jones kind of always starts at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little, I mean, he's also a monster for different reasons. When you rewatch those films, you realize, but
right.
Marty McFly, Brody from Jaws, they all kind of start from the bottom. They're regular, everyday people. And the Avengers start, like, wealthy superhuman,
right?
And then they end wealthy superhuman, and they're never like, we can't relate to them. They're like, we're watching gods,
right?
Yeah, they're fucking superheroes, yeah. Not regular heroes.
Oh yeah,
it's a fantasy.
I think what makes Marvel work is that they often talk like people. They talk like us. They exist in our world. They make jokes. They ground it, and I think that's what makes, say, like the Zack Snyder Justice Leagues, or not Justice League, but Batman v Superman and stuff, like they're all so serious, they just all seem alien, and we can't like glom onto anybody that we're like, I'm rooting for them.
Right.
Like, I like rooting for Tony Stark because he's got shirts of bins I know and like, you know? It's like he is like
I
us.
Like him because when he presses a button, he puts on an Iron Man suit and fucks shit up.
Which is pretty
rad. For the same reason I liked him in the 80s. It's fucking rad as fuck. And I like watching that nanotech get better every movie. Man, I am not with this whole fucking conspiracy.
You just were. Man.
I'm just an American. I'm a psychopath. I'm sorry. I'm bipolar.
For what it's worth, Joss Whedon in 2016, when asked this question, his response, this is my final answer. Yes.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's when he was asked if the rise of authoritarianism globally is at all tied to the rise of superhero movies. Mm-hmm. And we have to read this because I just love the source so much. Here's the quote first. These films are made by fascists. The cult of American hypermasculinity is one of the worst things that has happened in the world during the past 50 years. Hundreds of thousands of people died because of this stupid illusion. How is it possible to watch a movie called Captain America? That is a quote from John McTiernan, director of Die Hard, Predator, The Hunt for Red October, Last Action Hero, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and Rollerball.
He also went to jail.
Yes.
I mean, he's great. John McTiernan's great. Or at least his films are great. I don't know him.
But of all the people to come through with that vehement of a quote about hyper-masculinity. Oh, yeah. Oh, really? The guy who directed Die Hard? Tell me more.
Well,
but here's the thing. When you see in present day that kind of hyper-masculinity being like weaponized politically,
yeah,
shit becomes a little bit more real.
Yeah. There's an argument, I guess, for movies influencing like the general public and the zeitgeist and like how everybody, their mood. But movies have always had this problem, right? Like they've always had terrible messages.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah, I think Star Wars, and Star Wars too, there's a little bit of like Nazi overtones to it, but it's with like the stormtroopers are like, there's Nazi allegories you can make there, but it doesn't mean they're pushing.
I mean, it's like
Nazism.
There's a lot of suspect shit in our fiction throughout history. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think that's the issue, but I do. There's arguments to be made. I just think I think if Trump wasn't in office, nobody'd be making them.
People wouldn't be as bothered for sure. Yeah. I think that's the same with the Joker movie, where it's like there's nothing wrong with that movie in terms of the subject matter.
Right.
But I get why people were like, this feels in poor taste right now.
Well, yeah. Because you could see a dude who has an AR-15 and was already maybe planning on spraying some people, being like, you know, it'd be cooler if I did it as the fucking Joker.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think the Watchmen TV series.
Luckily, it didn't happen. Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you could. It's not a fake thing to like worry about it anymore. Yeah.
The Watchmen TV series, like the premise of that, isn't completely unlike the premise of the Turner Diaries,
mm-hmm.
which is basically like the Turner Diaries. If people don't know, it's like It's a fictional book, but it's what a lot of white nationalist beliefs are built on, is what's in the Turner Diaries. And the Turner Diaries is a fictional tale about a race war that erupts between a mostly black police force and white nationalists.
Right.
And that's kind of what Watchmen is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, at any other point in history, who cares? Like, we could, but right now, when I watched that fucking first episode of Watchmen, I was like, this is good, but.
Exactly.
But.
It's like, oh, you better be careful with that. It's pretty fragile what you're holding.
Yeah.
It's like when the Game of Thrones guys were like, we're going to make a show about if the South won the Civil War. And everybody was like, guys.
Don't.
Like, I could see a specific filmmaker or artist saying that, and we'd be like, oh, that's going to be great. But when the Game of Thrones guys stumble onto a stage and announce that, and we're just like, nope, you're not the people for that subject.
Yeah.
It's not that the subject is necessarily untouchable. It's you're just doing it.
You're going to too big of an audience with too whack of a perspective to tackle that one.
Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I could. That would be troublesome.
The interesting thing about this whole discussion about Marvel movies and superhero movies in general pushing authoritarian or fascist ideals, the NPR article I referenced and most articles like it came out in 2016 when Trump either was just elected or was running for office. And the NPR article in particular points to the fact that a lot of our superheroes throughout history have been straight white males, who all looked a very specific Aryan kind of way. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how those authoritarian undertones in Marvel movies will always be there, but they'll be less noticeable as those casts get more and more diverse.
Oh, yeah.
Which takes us to Black Panther, which is far and away the most diverse Marvel movie ever made. And also one of the most obviously authoritarian, not really authoritarian, but there is a strong anti-immigration streak running through the message of that film.
Well,
there is a lot of isolationism in that movie. Like, and it's kind of the plot of the movie. The problem is the ones doing all that are treated as the heroes in the movie.
It's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
It's a great movie.
And I would go all the way back to the first conversation we were having about the nature of art and stuff, and the fact that these have to hit a formula. Is Black Panther, I consider, one of the most frustrating movies, because it's a movie that's having a very interesting conversation and a debate where, like, Killmonger is kind of seen as, he's definitely seen as sympathetic in what he wants to accomplish.
Right.
But then they add a scene where he, like, kills one of his underlings or something like that. They make him evil. Because ultimately, it's a superhero movie, and it all has to lead to the good guy and the bad guy having a super fight. And this was one of those movies where I was like, I kind of don't want any fighting. Like,
yeah.
I kind of want it to end with a discussion or like something that's just, it's a gray area, but it has to be a superhero film. It has to have that big war scene that they're having on the surface while they're fighting down below, and it hurt the film. And then it creates that weird fasciness where it's like the good guys are the ones who want to close their border. And at the end, they're kind of like, well, he does have a point. And they like kind of have to kind of concede that. Meanwhile, they've already murdered him. And so it's a very, like, message-wise, it's a very confusing movie. And I think that's because they didn't set out to do that. Their formula just made it.
Wasn't their message, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things? He had the right idea and did it the wrong way. He broke the rules. He fucking robbed a fucking museum.
Oh, so
he worked with international criminals and murderers.
Yeah, we don't hear that. We don't hear that in the immigration debate at all. It's never, oh, well, some people come here the right way and some people don't.
I'm like, not talking about the immigration debate. I'm talking about the villain and fucking.
That's what I'm getting at, though.
Well, tell me I'm missing this.
Because you've seen Black Panther. Like, when you say his main crime there was not doing things the right way, that's a thing we say about people who come to this country is, well, some people do it the right way, and those people who do it the right way should be treated a certain way. Like, it's not like the idea that Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan's character in that movie, might have been the hero of that movie. That's not an unpopular opinion. Like, there's articles, but, like, we are a room full of white dudes, so I feel like I should point people to some of these articles. There's one on Afropunk.com. The headline of the fucking article: Killmonger is the real hero for those who refuse to assimilate into an elitist blackness that leaves many behind. That's one article. There is another article on PalmBeachPost.com called Commentary: Panther Exposes Immigrant Resentment in Black Community. It's written by a woman named Patrice Lee Onwuka, and it says all of this under her picture in the article. She is a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum, U.S. citizen originally from the Caribbean, married to an African immigrant from Nigeria. And this is a quote from her from that article. Black Americans, those whose ancestors were enslaved in the United States, harbor anti-African immigrant sentiments. They may love the bright prints of African clothing and the idea of African wealth, but there is some deep-seated resentment about immigrants from black countries that spilled out on the screen in Black Panther. And that's not, she's not alone in having that opinion, that the Wakanda was set up as this place where they had the capacity to help black people everywhere. And that was Michael B. Jordan's characters. That was Killmonger's character's point, was you could all be helping. You could be helping all of us, and you're just not. And right. Even when they agree, okay, well, we'll help people.
If we help everybody, we'll lose our ability to help anyone, including ourselves. And that's kind of the argument. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the other side.
But again, you have to see the parallels there when people talk about illegal immigration.
No, for sure.
That is the exact argument that people make when it comes to people coming to this country illegally is, oh, well, if we help them, we won't have enough to help ourselves anymore. Right. And it's not true.
It might have been true
in Black Panther, but it's a weird message to push in 2018.
I will agree. Like, my one thing about minorities as a Jewish person has always been, because I was raised liberal and reform, and understand that no minority is safe unless all minorities are safe. But if you start putting the minorities against each other, it's a lot easier to lean on the ones left fighting. And so I could see where we should discuss that.
Well, it's...
Do you think that's what's happening?
Honestly,
it's trying to put blacks against browns?
I think it's just...
Blacks against blacks against browns?
I really think it's just the formula of the film. Like, I think that, like, whoever wrote it was trying to do something new and different, and there might have been drafts of this movie that were more clear.
Right.
And then as the movie, as producers stepped in, the message got a little lost and got a little weird. Because, again, they still, like, at the end, they're like, oh, maybe we'll have, like, a Starbucks. They make jokes like that where it's...
Yeah.
Like, they know that the villain isn't wrong, so they have to make him so ghoulish in the way he goes about it to make it so that the good guy has to step in. But ultimately, that creates a situation where the guy who's right is the villain and is depicted as being evil.
Yeah.
But haven't heroes been learning from their villains in stories forever?
Yeah.
That's kind of the part of being a hero, is taking the grievance of the villain into consideration as you move forward, so that you create less villains like that. The more you know, G.I. Joe,
mm-hmm.
Knowing is half the... I'm just saying. Like, I don't think it's anything different. What is that? That mean shut up?
No!
Does that mean I get to... Oh, it's just a dope sound cue you have for no reason?
Just a fun sound effect.
Anyway... I don't know, man. I hope what I'm saying is relevant, because you guys are clearly really smart about this.
I'm
trying to give an opinion.
I'm not relevant. I'm not that smart. I've just been thinking about this for a while.
No, you talked about like 50s film and stuff. You know about
film. I know
film.
About film. Brendan's that doesn't like make that. Me smart.
What makes you smart about this topic?
I can't multiply. Like, I can't do most math.
Oh, I can do that. Math contest in front of all these viewers so they realize I'm worth something. Because mm-hmm. Right now I'm just saying half most of the time.
I'm not that emotionally invested in Marvel movies. I'm invested in the idea that we sometimes push, like we kind of normalize fascist shit through entertainment, and I don't love that.
We normalize a lot of shit, though. Going back to Indiana Jones, they just casually mention that the romantic lead in that is got into a relationship with Indiana Jones when she was a teenager and he was like her father's friend. And that's never an issue.
And if we're saying they're normalizing fascism, they'll say our movies normalize homosexuality or racism or this or that. And then when does it get to censoring art? You know what I mean? It's like,
well, when you argue that something normalizes homosexuality,
I'm just saying, like, could you write a better script? Then do it.
Like, normalizing homosexuality is the opposite of normalizing fascism.
I'm just saying, it's once you start arguing about what people can put in art, whether it's fascist or not,
it's not really a slippery slope.
That's all I'm saying.
It's not a matter of saying these movies can't exist, but where is the law that says people can't call them out for what they are or for what they seem to be?
True. I feel you. I'm glad we're having the conversation. I don't necessarily agree.
Well, that's not what this show is for.
Is it for just people agreeing
just
with you?
Just total agreement. Yeah, all the time.
Man, I thought it was about unpopular opinions.
I'm sorry we had this.
My opinion's unpopular in this room.
I'm sorry we had this misunderstanding. God damn.
I don't think you
what's
necessarily.
What's the producer's name again? What's his name?
Oh, Brett. Yeah.
Brett, well, you're with me, right? All right, it's 2-on-2.
Brett's giving a thumbs up.
I'm getting Brett high. All right, sorry.
I don't know. I don't think we necessarily disagree, because ultimately these are what we talked about, just really fun movies.
Yeah.
And I think it's just interesting that superhero movies in general, since they are, the genre is a lot more specific in what needs to happen in the movies, tend to be more fashy, because it always sort of starts with, I'm a single powerful person who knows what's best.
And also,
and that doesn't mean they have to do that. Like, I would argue again that Spider-Man is not that. It's a lot of Spider-Man being like, you can all be heroes and we're all just trying to make the world better.
Especially into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, and he's just, Spider-Man's just a poor kid who's just trying to do good. Like, there are versions of a lot of superhero movies that don't do this. It's just, like, the genre tends to gravitate towards accidentally being kind of fashy.
And I
don't think they do it on purpose, and I don't think that matters that much personally.
And something else I should mention, this talk about superhero movies being secretly fascist or having these fascist undertones to them, that's a debate that started with comic books in the 50s. Like, there was a book that was written about comic books in the 50s where this author was like, all right,
so who's the CEO of Disney right now? Who's the CEO of Disney right now?
Walt Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. I don't think there's any correlation there.
I don't think it's the same Hitlers.
If the CEO of Disney,
the New York Hitlers,
if the agenda for Marvel was fascist, right?
If the CEO of Disney
would clearly be aware that the agenda of Marvel is fascist, who is that person? And why are they making that decision?
Well, it's
according to the director of Die Hard, it's because they're a fascist. Yeah.
It's Bob Iger. Is he the Disney? He recently came out and had a quote where he defended Marvel movies to Scorsese and specifically mentioned Black Panther.
Yeah.
Being like, I think that's one of the best movies ever. And again, it's really good. It's got some great talent behind it.
And it's also the fact that they're existing in a universe where, like, universes inherently have...
I mean, black people vouched for it. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think people in general vouched for it. No one's not vouching for it as a movie, but the message, like, the plot
because
line
we're all
of
a bunch
that...
of sheep.
The plot line of that movie is kind of fucking elitist, isolationist, anti-immigration, like all of that shit's there.
Yeah, all the good fun stuff.
Exactly. All, stuff. All of that
it's
stuff.
It's what we crave. Plants crave electrolytes. Like, I crave fascism.
Like all that stuff
feed
is
me it.
It's there. Like it doesn't matter if it's accidental, but the fucking themes are there, and you're still, when you watch those movies, you're taking in those fucking sometimes authoritarian or fascist themes as entertainment. And you just have to be honest with yourself about it. Like there's a bad that comes with consuming almost anything in the world right now. Like it's hard to shop anywhere that's truly ethical. And
Oh, retail is like one of my least favorite experiences right now. Banks, supermarkets, they're all overpacked and understaffed, all of them, because they're all just getting ready to get rid of them. Retail's going to be dead soon.
Probably.
Yeah. This shit's just going to come to you in a fucking, from a drone. You order a pizza or a t-shirt or a fucking piano, it'll just show up with a fucking crane on a plane or something, whatever. Anyway, I'm baked as fuck, man. I apologize.
Do we have any final thoughts on superhero movies? I mean, I'm still going to go see them all.
Yeah. I just think there's a specific ceiling to superhero movies where I kind of agree where when a superhero movie is really good, I'm always a little frustrated, like Black Panther being like, that was really good. Too bad it's a superhero movie and it has to be a certain thing. And I do think I think what's going to happen is in 50 years from now, we're going to know about 5 good superhero movies. And it's going to be like any other genre that's hyper specific. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Coke sold soda to the Nazis during World War II.
You mean
Marvel will sell fucking fascist superhero movies to the Americans during World War III.
Who's going to make our uniforms, though?
I'm just Marvel. Saying, like, superhero, it's like this God worship shit. We've been doing it forever.
Supreme is going to make our uniforms. Yeah. It's never going to,
like,
III.
Greek gods are, because
we're
going to
be the Nazis.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're going to have to get all the cool fashion designers to make our. We are going to be the Nazis. Yeah.
The Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course we are. We already.
Yeah, we already. Yeah.
We're going to be the country that gets invaded to stop the suffering.
Right.
When World
Wouldn't
War
III. Wouldn't that be some. By who? Ain't nobody invading us to stop shit. Who? France? You think France will come save us again? Okay.
Russia, maybe.
Save us from who? Ourselves? Russia's going to come save us from ourselves?
We're getting into a whole other fucking podcast.
Yeah, I want to do that one. Can Look, we reschedule if we get, Russia's will save us from ourselves?
I've said this before. If we got Red Dawned right now, a part of me would be relieved.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, and like kind of flag them and be like, what do you got going on? Give me a better offer right now.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oy so vey. Let's get to some listener comments, and then we'll get out of here. You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true. Why would you think that's true? We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the last show and respond to them personally. Fade it out, Brett. Off camera, killing it in the other room.
Good job, Brett.
In the foyer over there. He's got a piano set up. I said fade it out. Thank you.
Jesus, Brett.
Before we get to listener comments, our $25 subscribers, T. Cookson, Ryan Borey, Eddie Barron, 5X Espinosa, Chaz Chitwood, Mike Ski, Homer Stasis, the ghost of Dave Thomas, Nolan McLean, Shelley, DJ West, Katie River, 80s R&B sensation Reby, Kelly Stanaway, Teresa H, whatever that means, James Hill, Carson Tuttle, Danny W, AJ Lindberg, and Jennifer Fendelander with 1D. Comments from last week's episode called Listener Appreciation Week. Shadow 007 says should have been called Grey Wolf Appreciation since they were all basically his questions on the episode.
Oh, yeah, Grey Wolf's great.
To which I say, ask better questions if you want yours read on the show. You know?
That's fair. It's not a democracy.
It's as simple as that. And
fascist.
Right? I'm trying to get in on the money train, too. And this comment from Gabriel Ferrer, this is a UFO story. Let's end on a UFO story. So I have a weird UFO story. So I don't believe in aliens, but I do believe governments have tech that we can't comprehend yet. Yeah, dude, they got it from aliens. Anyways, my friend lives about 20 minutes outside of Cologne, Germany. Woo! In a small town surrounded by farmland, castles, and former Nazi bunkers. About a couple years ago, we were messaging and it was late at night. night, and I asked why she hasn't gone to sleep. And she said there's light coming into her room, and she assumed a neighbor left their headlights on. So she looked out her window and said there was a glowing red orb outside near some farmland, and it was standing still. She tried sending a picture, but it wasn't visible on the phone camera. So she drew it and showed me that. But then it went away, and she went to bed. And a few days later, I asked her about it, and she couldn't remember it. I even sent the picture of the drawing she sent me, and she couldn't remember ever drawing it. Sounds like your friend has sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I was going to say, or like tried mescaline for the first time.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It could be a UFO, but don't start your story with "I don't even believe in aliens."
What kind of UFO?
And then send me your UFO story. Yeah. If it didn't sell you, it's not going to fucking sell me, pal.
What kind of UFO has to go back and erase the memory? Like, can't they do that while they're floating?
Why didn't it stop her from drawing the picture?
Yeah.
That would have been seemingly easier. You just kill her. You're a fucking alien. You can get out of here.
Right. Just kill them.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Unlimited authority, just like a superhero.
Yeah.
Aliens are kind of the superheroes of our world.
I was going to say that. Is that superheroes are like the Greek gods. Everybody knows the Greek gods were aliens. Bang.
Yep.
There it is. I think we have solved Marvel movies aliens.
Not to mention, that's kind of what the Marvel movies say, right? Thor's an alien.
I mean, Superman is an alien. Yeah.
Thor's an alien. Superman's an alien.
Superman's just an alien from a race of beautiful white people.
It's an alien.
What's weird
alien.
About all that? Guardian,
yeah. All the Guardians of the Galaxy are aliens.
Yeah. Maybe. We got it figured out.
Yeah.
Aliens are superheroes.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to get here.
I know, right?
Agreed.
Again, Red Dawn. If there's an invasion, I'll see what they have to offer.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm listening. This is a fun episode. Thank you both for doing it. I appreciate it. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. You can get so many bonus episodes. There's like 2 bonus episodes just related to this show every week. There's either an outtakes or I'm going to be doing a new show. Wish me luck. It's called the Burner Phone Show.
Ooh,
I'm gonna send out a phone number and people can just call me and I'm gonna record it. And if you got a fucking grievance, a complaint, if you want to tell me I'm great, if you want to tell me I fucking suck, you can call me.
I love that.
And I'm gonna record it and I'm gonna release it. But you have to be a Patreon subscriber to call me.
That's the good rock star shit. That's tight.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be clear that, by the way, these two guys are listening to they're willing to listen to the Russians. I'm well aware of what's been going on over there for about the last 100 years. I'm not listening. Wolverines, motherfucker, come get some.
That's fair. That's fair.
Come get some.
Wolverines, bitch.
I'm not saying
ghost of Patrick Swayze are going to fuck you up. Oh,
knife boot.
America.
Knife boot.
Me and the ghost of Patrick Swayze are just going to sit in our fucking cabin watching Marvel movies till the fucking Russians come up the road and we're going to fucking kill them.
Can I make a suggestion for when the Russians show up?
What?
Knife boot. You know what that is?
It's a boot.
It's a boot.
A knife that pops out?
Little knife out front. Doesn't pop out. It's just always popped out.
Yeah.
Always there. Always ready to rock. As seen in the Patrick Swayze classic Roadhouse. Knife boot.
Knife boot.
Right?
Sam Elliott's still around. He'll bang with me.
Fuck yeah. Zach, what do you have to plug?
Bad Libs podcast, which Adam has been a guest on like 15 episodes ago. If you haven't caught up on Burn Booth, watch. You were on 2 or 3 Burn Booths.
Yeah.
So just search Burn Booth, Adam Todd Brown, and you'll see him. At Zach Miller Dog on Instagram and Twitter, ZachMillerDawg.
David Christopher Bell, what do you have to plug?
Hi. Well, I have a podcast on this network called Bad Movie, which you should definitely check out. My Twitter is at MovieHooligan, and I run a podcast network called Gamefully Unemployed. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have a bunch of exclusive podcasts and cool shit you can check out. It's great.
Very nice. Yep. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Dave, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Zach, say goodbye.
Hasta luego, amigos.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.